This sound file contains the spoken word version of a Wikipedia article on the Iron Curtain. It is recorded on the 8th of October 2012 by user S. Whistler. The Iron Curtain, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, at en.wikipedia.org. The Iron Curtain symbolized the ideological conflict and physical boundary dividing Europe into two separate areas from the end of World War II in 1945 until the end of the Cold War in 1991. On the other side of the Iron Curtain, states developed their own international economic and military alliances. Member countries of the Council for Mutual Economic Assistance and the Warsaw Pact, with the Soviet Union as the leading country. Member countries of the European Community and of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and associated countries, with the United States as the leading country. Physically, the Iron Curtain took the form of border defenses between the countries of Europe in the middle of the continent. The most notable border was marked by the Berlin Wall, which served as a symbol of the curtain as a whole. The events that demolished the Iron Curtain started in discontent in Poland and continued in Hungary, German Democratic Republic, East Germany, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, and Romania. Romania was the only country in Europe to violently overthrow its communist regime. Contents. Analogous terms. Pre-Cold War usage. During the Cold War. Fall of the Iron Curtain. Monuments. Analogous terms. Throughout the Cold War, the term curtain would become a common euphemism for boundaries, physical or ideological, between communist and capitalist states. 1. An analog of the Iron Curtain, the Bamboo Curtain, surrounded the People's Republic of China. As the standoff between the West and the countries of the Iron and Bamboo Curtains eased with the end of the Cold War, the term fell out of any but historical usage. 2. The short distance between Russia and the U.S. state of Alaska, in the Bering Straits, became known as the Ice Curtain during the Cold War. 3. A field of cacti surrounding the U.S. naval station at Guantanamo Bay, planted by Cuba, was occasionally termed the Cactus Curtain. Pre-Cold War usage. There are various earlier usages of the term Iron Curtain predating Churchill. The usage of the term goes back to the Babylonian Talmud, Tractate Soa 38b, which refers to a Mekitsa Shel Basel, an iron barrier or divider. It was previously thought the term Iron Curtain was first coined by Queen Elizabeth of the Belgians after World War I to describe the political situation between Belgium and Germany in 1914. However, first usage of Iron Curtain perhaps should be attributed to British author Arthur Machen, 1863-1947, who used the term in his 1895 novel The Three Impostors. The door clanged behind me with the noise of thunder, and I felt that an iron curtain had fallen on the brief passage of my life. It is interesting to note the English translation of a Russian text, shown red below, represents the use of clang with reference to an iron curtain, suggesting the Russian writer, publishing 23 years after Machen, may have been familiar with the British author. The first recorded application of the term to communist Russia is from Vasily Rozanov's 1918 polemic, The Apocalypse of Our Times, and it is possible that Churchill read it there when the book's English translation was published in 1920. The passage runs, "With clanging, creaking, and squeaking, an iron curtain is lowering over Russian history. The performance is over. The audience got up. Time to put on your fur coats and go home. We look around, but the fur coats and homes were missing." Incidentally, this same passage provides a definition of nihilism adopted by Raoul van Egem, Guy Debord, and other situationists as the intention of situationist intervention. The first English use of the term Iron Curtain applied to the border of communist Russia in the sense of an impenetrable barrier was derived from the safety curtain used in theatres and used in 1920 by Ethel Snowden in her book Through Bolshevik Russia. Another known usage is recorded in a 1924 essay by G.K. Chesterton in the Illustrated London News. Chesterton, while defending distributism, refers to that iron curtain of industrialism that has cut us off not only from our neighbour's condition, but even from our own past. The term also appears in the 1933 satirical novel England, Their England, used there to describe the way that an artillery barrage protected the infantry from an enemy assault. The western sky was a blaze of yellow flame. The Iron Curtain was down. Sebastian Haffner used the metaphor in his book Germany, Jekyll and Hyde, published in London in 1940, in introducing his discussion of the Nazi rise to power in Germany in 1933. Back then, to March 1933, how a moment before the Iron Curtain was rung down on it did the German political stage appear. An Iron Curtain, or Eichner Vorhang, was an obligatory precaution in all German theatres to prevent the possibility of fire spreading from the stage to the rest of the theatre. Such fires were common because the decor was often very flammable. In case of fire, a metal wall would separate the stage from the theatre, secluding the flames to be extinguished by firefighters. Douglas Reed used this metaphor in his book Disgrace Abounding, Jonathan Cape, 1939, page 129. The bitter strife in Yugoslavia between Serb Unionists and Croat Federalists has only been hidden by the iron safety curtain of the king's dictatorship. A May 1943 article in Signal, a Nazi illustrated propaganda periodical published in many languages, was titled Behind the Iron Curtain. It discussed the Iron Curtain that more than ever before separates the world from the Soviet Union. The German Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, wrote in his weekly newspaper, Das Reich, of a Soviet-formed Iron Curtain that would arise because of agreements made by Stalin, Roosevelt, and Winston Churchill at the Yalta Conference. An Iron Curtain would fall over this enormous territory controlled by the Soviet Union, behind which nations would be slaughtered. The first oral intentional mention of an Iron Curtain in the Soviet context was in a broadcast by Lutz von Krosigk to the German people on the 2nd of May 1945. In the East, the Iron Curtain behind which, unseen by the eyes of the world, the work of destruction goes on, is moving steadily forward. The first recorded occasion on which Churchill used the term Iron Curtain was in a 12th of May 1945 telegram he sent to US President Harry S. Truman regarding his concern about Soviet actions, stating, "An iron curtain is drawn down upon their front. We do not know what is going on behind." He was also further concerned about another immense flight of the German population westward as this enormous Muscovite advance towards the center of Europe. Churchill concluded, "Then the iron curtain will descend again to a very large extent, if not entirely." Thus, a broad land of many hundreds of miles of Russian-occupied territory will isolate us from Poland. Churchill repeated the words in a further telegram to President Truman on the 4th of June 1945, in which he protested against a US retreat to what was earlier designated as, and ultimately became, the US occupation zone, saying the military withdrawal would bring Soviet power into the heart of Western Europe and the descent of an iron curtain between us and everything to the eastward. At the Potsdam Conference, Churchill complained to Stalin about an iron fence coming down upon the British mission in Bucharest. The first American print reference to the Iron Curtain occurred when C.L. Sulzberger of the New York Times first used it in a dispatch published on the 23rd of July, 1945. He had heard the term used by Vladko Macek, a Croatian politician, a Yugoslav opposition leader who had fled his homeland for Paris in May 1945. Macek told Sulzberger, "During the first 4 years, while I was interned by the Germans in Croatia, I saw how the Parisians were lowering an iron curtain over Yugoslavia so that nobody could know what went on behind it." The term was first used in the British House of Commons by Churchill on the 16th of August 1945, when he stated, "It is not impossible that tragedy on a prodigious scale is unfolding itself behind the Iron Curtain, which at the moment divides Europe in twain." Alan Dulles used the term in a speech on the 3rd of December 1945, referring to only Germany, following his conclusion that, "In general, the Russians are acting little better than thugs, had wiped out all the liquid assets, and refused to issue food cards to emigrating Germans, leaving them often more dead than alive." Dulles concluded that, "An iron curtain has descended over the fate of these people, and very likely conditions are truly terrible. The promises at Yalta, to the contrary, probably 8 to 10 million people are being enslaved." During the Cold War, building antagonism. The antagonism between the Soviet Union and the West that came to be described as the Iron Curtain has various origins. The Allied powers and the Central powers had backed the White Movement against the Bolsheviks during the 1918 to 1920 Russian Civil War, and the Soviets had not forgotten the fact. During the summer of 1939, after conducting negotiations both with a British-French group and with Germany regarding potential military and political agreements, the Soviet Union and Germany signed the German-Soviet Commercial Agreement, which provided for the trade of certain German military and civilian equipment in exchange for Soviet raw materials, and the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, signed in late August 1939, named after the foreign secretaries of the two countries, which included a secret agreement to split Poland and Eastern Europe between the two states. The Soviets thereafter occupied Eastern Poland, September 1939, Latvia, June 1940, Lithuania, 1940, Northern Romania, Bessarabia and Northern Bukovina, late June 1940, Estonia, 1940, and Eastern Finland, March 1940. From August 1939, relations between the West and the Soviets deteriorated further when the Soviet Union and Germany engaged in an extensive economic relationship by which the Soviets sent Germany vital oil, rubber, manganese, and other materials in exchange for German weapons, manufacturing machinery, and technology. Nazi-Soviet trade ended in June 1941 when Germany broke the pact and invaded the Soviet Union in Operation Barbarossa. In the course of World War II, Stalin determined to acquire a buffer area against Germany with pro-Soviet states on its border in an eastern bloc. Stalin's aims led to strained relations at the Yalta Conference, February 1945, and the subsequent Potsdam Conference, August 1945. People in the West expressed opposition to Soviet domination over the buffer states, and the fear grew that Soviets were building an empire that might be a threat to them and their interests. Nonetheless, at the Potsdam Conference, the Allies assigned parts of Poland, Finland, Romania, Germany, and the Balkans to Soviet control or influence. In return, Stalin promised the Western Allies that he would allow those territories the right to national self-determination. Despite Soviet cooperation during the war, these concessions left many in the West uneasy. In particular, Churchill feared that the United States might return to its pre-war isolationism, leaving the exhausted European states unable to resist Soviet demands. President Franklin D. Roosevelt had announced at Yalta that after the defeat of Germany, U.S. forces would withdraw from Europe within 2 years. Iron Curtain Speech. Winston Churchill's Sinews of Peace address of March 1946 at Westminster College used the term Iron Curtain in the context of Soviet-dominated Eastern Europe. From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent. Behind that line lie all the capitals of the ancient states of Central and Eastern Europe. Warsaw, Berlin, Prague, Vienna, Budapest, Belgrade, Bucharest, and Sofia. All these famous cities and the populations around them lie in what I must call the Soviet sphere, and all are subject, in one form or another, not only to Soviet influence, but to a very high, and in some cases, increasing measure of control from Moscow. Much of the Western public still regarded the Soviet Union as a close ally in the context of the most recent defeat of Nazi Germany and of Japan, resulting in many seeing Churchill's speech as warmongering and unnecessary. In light of the subsequent opening of Soviet archives, some historians have revised their opinions. Although not well received at the time, the phrase Iron Curtain gained popularity as shorthand reference to the division of Europe as the Cold War strengthened. The Iron Curtain served to keep people in and information out, and people throughout the West eventually came to accept and use the metaphor. Political, economic, and military realities. Eastern Bloc. While the Iron Curtain remained in place, much of Eastern Europe and parts of Central Europe, except West Germany, Liechtenstein, Switzerland, and Austria, found themselves under the hegemony of the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union annexed Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania as Soviet Socialist Republics within the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Germany effectively gave Moscow a free hand in much of these territories in the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact of 1939, signed before Germany invaded the Soviet Union in 1941. Other Soviet annexed territories included Eastern Poland, incorporated into Ukrainian and Byelorussian SSRs, part of Eastern Finland became the Carilo-Finnish SSR, and northern Romania, part of which became the Moldovan SSR. Between 1945 and 1949, the Soviets converted the following areas into Soviet satellite states: the German Democratic Republic, the People's Republic of Bulgaria, the People's Republic of Poland, the People's Republic of Hungary, the Czechoslovak Socialist Republic, the People's Republic of Romania, the People's Republic of Albania, which de-aligned itself in the 1960s away from the Soviet Union and towards the People's Republic of China. Soviet-installed governments ruled the Eastern Bloc countries with the exception of the Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia, which retained its full independence. The majority of European states to the east of the Iron Curtain developed their own international economic and military alliances, such as Comecon and the Warsaw Pact. West of the Iron Curtain. To the west of the Iron Curtain, the countries of Western Europe, Northern Europe, and Southern Europe, along with Austria, West Germany, Liechtenstein, and Switzerland, operated market economies, with the exception of a period of fascism in Spain until the 1970s, and Portugal until 1974, and military dictatorship in Greece 1967 to 1974, democratic governments ruled these countries. Most of the states of Europe to the west of the Iron Curtain, with the exception of neutral Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Austria, Sweden, Finland, Malta, and Ireland, allied themselves with the United States and Canada within NATO. Economically, the European Community and the European Free Trade Association represented Western counterparts to Comecon. Most of the nominally neutral states were economically closer to the United States than they were to the Warsaw Pact. Further division in the late 1940s. In January 1947, Truman appointed General George Marshall as Secretary of State, scrapped Joint Chief of Staff's JCS Directive 1067, which embodied the Morgenthau Plan, and supplanted it with JCS 1779, which decreed that an orderly and prosperous Europe requires the economic contributions of a stable and productive Germany. Administration officials met with Soviet Foreign Minister Vyacheslav Molotov and others to press for an economically self-sufficient Germany, including a detailed accounting of the industrial plants, goods, and infrastructure already removed by the Soviets. After 5.5 weeks of negotiations, Molotov refused the demands and the talks were adjourned. Marshall was particularly discouraged after personally meeting with Stalin, who expressed little interest in a solution to German economic problems. The United States concluded that a solution could not wait any longer. In a 5th of June 1947 speech, Marshall announced a comprehensive program of American assistance to all European countries wanting to participate, including the Soviet Union and those of Eastern Europe, called the Marshall Plan. Stalin opposed the Marshall Plan. He had built up the Eastern Bloc protective belt of Soviet-controlled nations on his western border and wanted to maintain this buffer zone of states combined with a weakened Germany under Soviet control. Fearing American political, cultural, and economic penetration, Stalin eventually forbade Soviet Eastern Bloc countries of the newly formed Komintern from accepting Marshall Plan aid. In Czechoslovakia, that required a Soviet-backed Czechoslovak coup d'état of 1948, the brutality of which shocked Western powers more than any event so far and set in motion a brief scare that war would occur and swept away the last vestiges of opposition to the Marshall Plan in the United States Congress. Relations further deteriorated when, in January 1948, the U.S. State Department also published a collection of documents titled Nazi-Soviet Relations, 1939-1941, documents from the archives of the German Foreign Office, which contained documents recovered from the Foreign Office of Nazi Germany, revealing Soviet conversations with Germany regarding the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, including its secret protocol dividing Eastern Europe, the 1939 German-Soviet commercial agreement, and discussions of the Soviet Union potentially becoming the fourth Axis power. In response, 1 month later, the Soviet Union published Falsifiers of History, a Stalin-edited and partially rewritten book attacking the West. After the Marshall Plan, the introduction of a new currency to Western Germany to replace the Reichsmark, and massive electoral losses for communist parties in June 1948, the Soviet Union cut off surface road access to Berlin, initiating the Berlin blockade, which cut off all non-Soviet food, water, and other supplies for the citizens of the non-Soviet sectors of Berlin. Because Berlin was located within the Soviet-occupied zone of Germany, the only available method of supplying the city were three limited air corridors. A massive aerial supply campaign was initiated by the United States, Britain, France, and other countries, the success of which caused the Soviets to lift their blockade in May 1949. Emigration restrictions. One of the conclusions of the Yalta Conference was that the Western Allies would return all Soviet citizens who found themselves in their zones to the Soviet Union. This affected the liberated Soviet prisoners of war, branded as traitors, forced laborers, anti-Soviet collaborators with the Germans, and anti-communist refugees. Migration from east to west of the Iron Curtain, except under limited circumstances, was effectively halted after 1950. Before 1950, over 15 million people, mainly ethnic Germans, emigrated from Soviet-occupied Eastern Europe countries to the West in the 5 years immediately following World War II. However, restrictions implemented during the Cold War stopped most east-west migration, with only 13.3 million migrations westward between 1950 and 1990. More than 75% of those emigrating from Eastern Bloc countries between 1950 and 1990 did so under bilateral agreements for ethnic migration. About 10% were refugees permitted to emigrate under the Geneva Convention of 1951. Most Soviets allowed to leave during this time period were ethnic Jews permitted to emigrate to Israel after a series of embarrassing defections in 1970 caused the Soviets to open very limited ethnic emigrations. The fall of the Iron Curtain was accompanied by a massive rise in European east-west migration. As a physical entity, the Iron Curtain took physical shape in the form of border defences between the countries of Western and Eastern Europe. These were some of the most heavily militarized areas in the world, particularly the so-called Inner German Border, commonly known as Die Grenze in German, between East and West Germany. The Inner German Border was marked in rural areas by double fences made of steel mesh, expanded metal with sharp edges, while near urban areas, a high concrete barrier, similar to the Berlin Wall, was built. The barrier was always a short distance inside East German territory to avoid any intrusion into Western territory. The actual borderline was marked by posts and signs and was overlooked by numerous watchtowers set behind the barrier. The strip of land on the West German side of the barrier, between the actual borderline and the barrier, was readily accessible, but only at a considerable personal risk because it was patrolled by both East and West German border guards. Several villages, many historic, were destroyed as they lay too close to the border, for example, Erlbach. Shooting incidents were not uncommon, and a total of 28 East German border guards and several hundred civilians were killed between 1948 and 1981. Some may have been victims of friendly fire by their own side. Elsewhere along the border between West and East, the defense works resembled those on the intra-German border. During the Cold War, the border zone in Hungary started 15 kilometers, 9.3 miles, from the border. Citizens could only enter the area if they lived in the zone or had a passport valid for traveling out. Traffic control points and patrols enforced this regulation. Those who lived within the 15 kilometers border zone needed special permission to enter the area within 5 kilometers, 3.1 miles, of the border. The area was very difficult to approach and heavily fortified. In the 1950s and 1960s, a double barbed wire fence was installed 50 meters, 160 foot, from the border. The space between the two fences was laden with landmines. The minefield was later replaced with an electric signal fence about 1 kilometer, 0.62 miles from the border, and a barbed wire fence along with guard towers and a sand strip to track border violations. Regular patrols sought to prevent escape attempts. They included cars and mounted units. Guards and dog patrol units watched the border 24/7 and were authorized to use their weapons to stop escapees. The wire fence nearest the actual border was irregularly displaced from the actual border, which was marked only by stones. Anyone attempting to escape would have to cross up to 400 meters, 1,300 feet, before they could cross the actual border. Several escape attempts failed when the escapees were stopped after crossing the outer fence. In parts of Czechoslovakia, the border strip became hundreds of meters wide, and an area of increasing restrictions was defined as the border was approached. Only people with the appropriate government permissions were allowed to get close to the border. In Greece, a highly militarized area called the surveillance area was created by the Greek army along the Greek-Bulgarian border, subject to significant security-related regulations and restrictions. Inhabitants within this 25-kilometer-wide strip of land were forbidden to drive cars, own land bigger than 60 square meters, and had to travel within the area with a special passport issued by Greek military authorities. Additionally, the Greek state used this area to encapsulate and monitor a non-Greek ethnic minority, the Pomaks, a Muslim and Bulgarian-speaking minority, which was regarded as hostile to the interests of the Greek state during the Cold War because of its familiarity with their fellow Pomaka living on the other side of the Iron Curtain. The outer fence became the first part of the Iron Curtain to be dismantled. After the border fortifications were dismantled, a section was rebuilt for a formal ceremony on the 27th of June 1989. The foreign ministers of Austria and Hungary, Alois Mock and Gyula Horn, ceremonially cut through the border defences separating their countries. The creation of these highly militarized no-man's lands led to de facto nature reserves and created a wildlife corridor across Europe. This helped the spread of several species to new territories. Since the fall of the Iron Curtain, several initiatives are pursuing the creation of a European Greenbelt nature preserve area along the Iron Curtain's former route. In fact, a cycle track along the length of the former border, called the Iron Curtain Trail, exists as a European Union project. The trail is 6,800 kilometers long and spans from Finland to Greece. The term Iron Curtain was only used for the fortification borders in Europe. It was not used for similar borders in Asia between communist and capitalist states. These were, for a time, dubbed the Bamboo Curtain. The border between North Korea and South Korea is very comparable to the former Inner German border, particularly in its degree of militarization, but it has never conventionally been considered part of any Iron Curtain. Fall of the Iron Curtain. Following a period of economic and political stagnation, the Soviet Union decreased intervention in Eastern Bloc politics. Mikhail Gorbachev decreased adherence to the Brezhnev Doctrine, which held that if socialism were threatened in any state, then other socialist governments, which held that if socialism were threatened in any state, then other socialist governments had an obligation to intervene to preserve it in favor of the Sinatra Doctrine. He also initiated the policies of glasnost, openness, and perestroika, economic restructuring. A wave of revolutions occurred throughout the Eastern Bloc. In April 1989, the Solidarity Organization was legalized in the People's Republic of Poland and captured 99% of available parliamentary seats. These elections, in which anti-communist candidates won a striking victory, inaugurated a series of peaceful anti-communist revolutions in Central and Eastern Europe, and eventually culminated in the fall of communism. On the 19th of August 1989, more than 600 East Germans attending the Pan-European picnic on the Hungarian border broke through the Iron Curtain and fled into Austria. Hungarian border guards had threatened to shoot anyone crossing the border, but when the time came, they did not intervene and allowed the people to cross. In a historic session from October the 16th to October the 20th, the Hungarian Parliament adopted legislation providing for multi-party parliamentary elections and a direct presidential election. The legislation transformed Hungary from a people's republic into the Republic of Hungary. The legislation transformed Hungary from a people's republic into the Republic of Hungary, guaranteed human and civil rights, and created an institutional structure that ensured separation of powers among the judicial, legislative, and executive branches of government. In November 1989, following mass protests in East Germany and the relaxing of border restrictions in Czechoslovakia, tens of thousands of East Berliners flooded checkpoints along the Berlin Wall, crossing into West Berlin. In the People's Republic of Bulgaria, the day after mass crossings across the Berlin Wall, leader Todor Živkov was ousted. In the Czechoslovak Socialist Republic, following protests of an estimated 500,000 Czechoslovaks, the government permitted travel to the West and abolished provisions guaranteeing the ruling Communist Party its leading role, preceding the Velvet Revolution. In the Socialist Republic of Romania, on the 22nd of December 1989, the Romanian military sided with the protesters and turned on communist ruler Nicolae Ceaușescu, who was executed after a brief trial 3 days later. In the People's Socialist Republic of Albania, a new package of regulations went into effect on the 3rd of July 1990, entitling all Albanians over the age of 16 to own a passport for foreign travel. Meanwhile, hundreds of Albanian citizens gathered around foreign embassies to seek political asylum and free the country. The Berlin Wall officially remained guarded after the 9th of November 1989, although the inter-German border had become effectively meaningless. The official dismantling of the wall by the East German military did not begin until June 1990. In July 1990, the day East Germany adopted the West German currency, all border controls ceased and West German Chancellor Helmut Kohl convinced Gorbachev to drop Soviet objections to a reunited Germany within NATO in return for substantial German economic aid to the Soviet Union. Monuments. There is an Iron Curtain monument in the southern part of the Czech Republic. A few hundred meters of the original fence and one of the guard towers has remained installed. There are interpretive signs in Czech and English that explain the history and significance of the Iron Curtain. This is the only surviving part of the fence in the Czech Republic, though several guard towers and bunkers can still be seen. Some of these are part of the communist-era defences, some are from the never-used Czechoslovak border fortifications in defence against Hitler, and some towers were, or have become, hunting platforms. Another monument is located in Feta Rákos, Hungary, at the site of the Pan-European picnic. On the eastern hill of the stone quarry stands a metal sculpture by Gabriela von Habsburg. It is a column made of metal and barbed wire with the date of the Pan-European picnic and the names of the participants. On the ribbon under the board, you can read a Latin text, In necessarilis unitas, in dublis liberatas, in omnibus caritas. Unity in unavoidable matters, freedom in doubtful matters, love in all things. The memorial symbolizes the Iron Curtain and recalls forever the memories of the border breakthrough in 1989. Another monument is located in the village of Devin, now part of Bratislava, Slovakia, at the confluence of the Danube and Morava rivers. There are several open-air museums in parts of the former inner German border, as for example in Berlin and Modlerruth, a village that has been divided for several hundred years. The memory of the division is being kept alive in many other places along the Grenze.